Chris Lazio alongside Sam Saig for episode 6 of Running the Option. Sam, how are you doing today?
You know, Dave, I'm actually a bit perplexed this week.
Okay.
You know, for the first time perplexed as we start the week, because we are about 6 days away from the first BCS rankings, and I'm wondering if we saw a precursor for what's to come in those rankings out of the coaches poll this week, where we saw a Wisconsin team that had a bye week leapfrog a Stanford team that handled Colorado pretty comfortably at home. And I was just curious, it's not so much that Wisconsin should or shouldn't be ranked ahead of Stanford, but it's the timing that has me wondering what's going on here. What do you think?
Yeah, you beat a team, a bad team, but it's a Pac-12 opponent by 41 points, and then you lose a spot. But I was thinking about it, and then I look, and I see that arguably the best win on Stanford's schedule right now is that at Arizona game, and we'll get to them a little later in the show. But they lose to Oregon State, so that is a big loss as far as strength of schedule is concerned. Well, meanwhile, Nebraska overcomes a 21-point deficit against Ohio State, makes that win that Wisconsin had over them look a little better. So I think this is strictly a strength of schedule type of thing. But should strength of schedule be more important than a team winning by 41?
I think strength of schedule, there's no question that Wisconsin has the best win of the two teams by a mile. The interesting thing to me is on October 1st, when Wisconsin beat Nebraska, they were ranked number 8 Nebraska at the time, and they beat them. That same day, Stanford beat UCLA. And yet, when that poll came out, Stanford was ranked ahead of Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin has a right to be ranked ahead of Stanford. I'm just wondering why it didn't
come then,
you know? But that's how college football works, and I'm sure the BCS rankings will give us plenty to think about.
And it could be the first of a couple of subtle moves like that, but we'll see in the coming weeks.
Yep.
But not a subtle move at all. The biggest news of the week, you look at TCU officially saying, forget you, Big East, we got a better invite, we are going to the Big 12. Well, just initial thoughts on this move for you.
Well, it's a big move, and for me, the initial thoughts are, I think of the old Southwest Conference, a conference that for so many young football fans, it's not something that you think about. But for a great many years, the Southwest Conference was really the lifeline of college football. The culture out of the Southwest Conference, the football that was played there, that was the blood that kind of fueled college football. And what you've seen now is TCU is going to be able to rekindle a lot of old rivalries from that conference, Texas, Texas Tech, Baylor. You know, TCU's a small private school of 8,000 students, and it's the first new member of the Big 12 since 1996, but it has a lot of football tradition and history in that old Southwest Conference, and for me as a fan of the history of the game, it's really good to see this move happen.
The vibe from the fans, and even the athletic director said it today, we're going home.
Yeah.
It's just a homecoming.
No question.
It's awesome, because TCU deserves it. TCU, for the last 5 years or so, has been a staple among the top 10, top 25 in college football, and they deserve this. And it's fascinating to me that on this podcast and throughout the nation, we were talking about the Big 12 dissolving.
Yep.
Just a couple of weeks ago. It feels like forever ago now, but this was just a couple of weeks ago that we were talking about teams like TCU and teams like Missouri and Kansas, where do they go when, not if, the Big 12 disperses. And now all of a sudden, not only is the Big 12 looking strong, but you could argue it's one of the best conferences in the country after the SEC.
No question. You know, this conference was at a turning point. And interim commissioner Chuck Nienas had a decision to make. What is the future going to be for the Big 12? Is there a future? And I think he went out and made the best possible move that he could have made. And TCU was obviously happy to be on board, because when you think about it, when that Southwest Conference I talk about, when that broke up, maybe the team that lost the most was TCU. I mean, when that conference broke up in 1996, since that time, TCU played in the WAC, they played in Conference USA, they played in the Mountain West, and now they're finally into the Big 12. And for both sides, what a move this was to get the league back to 10. They feel comfortable there. And I think that, like you said, we weren't even sure if this conference was going to exist. A lot was going wrong. Right now, I think they've salvaged what they could in as good a way as possible.
There are still whispers that Missouri could leave, and that's the big question mark right now. Is Missouri still going to perhaps go to the SEC? Are they going to leave? What's crazy to me is that I think that this new Big 12 with the addition of TCU could survive if Missouri leaves.
Yeah.
I won't have that same impending doom feeling that I had when Texas A&M left. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas is down a little bit right now, but that's a huge program over the years. Texas Tech, I think, is on the rise with Tuberville. And then you add TCU, you've got these Baylor and Kansas State teams. There's so many good teams here, yeah. They could survive. And I think a 10th team would be happy to fill in Missouri's shoes if they did decide to leave.
I want to read a quote to you, and then I want to get your feelings on something you talked to me about earlier that I think could be a great selling point for why it's in Missouri's best interest not to leave.
Okay.
So the quote from Chuck Ninus, again, the interim Big 12 commissioner, he said, "We can't address the 10 versus 12 until we determine that Missouri is going to be one of the 10. There's no consensus at the present time between the conference members as to 10 or 12, meaning getting back to 12 teams.
Right.
And you were mentioning to me something about the BCS standings and the potential when they do come out for how they're going to favor Big 12 teams. And I was going to think, if Missouri pays attention to what you have researched, they may think, hey, this conference competitively may be our best option moving forward.
Yeah, what I was referring to was the fact that despite the fact that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten with their conference championship games are getting more love, perhaps nationally, the Big 12 is the conference right now, other than the SEC, that controls its own destiny.
Right.
Whoever survives that Alabama-LSU game, assuming some crazy things don't happen and one of those teams doesn't win the SEC, but that team obviously controls its own destiny. It's Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, I believe, that control their destiny over a Stanford in the Pac-12, over a Wisconsin in the Big Ten. So now Missouri, if they leave for the SEC, you have to win the SEC, which is a tall task to say the least. Well, if you stay in the Big 12, you could conceivably control your own destiny and have a more realistic path.
It speaks to not only the strength of the Big 12 at the top with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and all those programs on the rise like you talked about, but also there is more of a balance of, hey, it's a tough conference, but it's not the SEC grind that we would put ourselves
into. Right, look
at
a team like Mississippi State.
Right.
Mississippi State is a perfect example of a team that you've spoken highly of on this program, that it's a good football team that's probably never going to be able to take the next step because there are just too many huge programs in the SEC. You could say similar about the Big 12, that there are obviously programs ahead of Missouri, but the path to a magical season is a lot more realistic in the Big 12. And this is obviously a football show, but from a basketball perspective, it makes more sense for Missouri to stay in the Big 12 too.
Absolutely, there's no question about it. And again, these teams that are in the Big 12, if they stay intact and they include Missouri in that, and you stay at 10, and maybe you do add a couple of schools to round it out down the road. But as I look at what you're getting if you're the Big 12 with TCU, yes, you're getting an old Southwest Conference team with perfect ties into so many parts of Texas coming from a huge metropolitan area like Dallas-Fort Worth, but you're also getting a rich football history, and you're getting players. If you look at the players in the history of this program, you go all the way back to Davey O'Brien, who the Davey O'Brien Award,
best quarterback is named after a TCU.
That's his namesake, right. He won the Heisman Trophy. You have Sammy Baugh back in the day. They've produced LaDainian Tomlinson, Andy Dalton now looking like a star in the NFL. I think that the Big 12 made a power move, in my opinion. It's not the biggest school, you know, and they've certainly had their struggles since leaving the Southwest and going to all these other conferences, the WAC, Conference USA. TCU's been to two straight BCS Bowls. They're coming off of a Rose Bowl win. Is there a better time to get them than now with a coach that I believe may be one of the best in the country?
It's such a perfect fit for both the school and the conference.
Right.
And I love that you bring up Gary Patterson, because when you look at this season you can very easily classify as a disappointment for TCU, considering the fact that obviously they wanted to run the table, they wanted to try and get into that BCS bust or national championship conversation. They already have two losses. It could be argued that it's a blessing in disguise, because for one offseason, there aren't going to be these rumors about Patterson leaving for greener pastures. Where are the greener pastures? You have a huge opportunity now in the Big 12. So he's no longer going to leave you for a BCS school, considering this is a BCS school. And while going to the Big East would have obviously been a move to the BCS, it's not quite the same thing. winning out in the Big East is not going to impress a whole lot of pollsters compared to winning out in a conference like the Big 12. So it's a huge opportunity for him. And with TCU losing two, maybe three games, I just think it's going to be great that that distraction isn't going to be there. And while TCU would certainly rather be undefeated and have all those distractions that come with it, I think it's going to be a blessing in disguise because I think this offseason is going to be 100% focused on the positives about moving back to the Big 12.
Yeah, and and Gary Patterson was already a good recruiter. I mean, he had this program moving towards another, maybe not this year, but another BCS berth was certainly in their future.
Right, there was
going to
be a bit of a rebuilding curve with Andy Dalton leaving, but the recruiting has been great.
Absolutely, and you know, what I look at now, to give him even more incentive, more opportunities, I think the cash flow will be even better for TCU, obviously, as the Big 12 starts to rework its television deal and so forth. I think that you're positioning TCU now as a big-time player moving forward in the Big 12, maybe not right away, but I don't see them as that far away from that upper echelon of Texas, Oklahoma
State.
I
don't either.
I really think they're capable of getting into that league and making some things happen right away.
And unlike a team like Utah that was a great acquisition for the Pac-12, that you kind of knew there would be some growing pains, I don't know that TCU is going to have those growing pains. I think this program right now is ready to play at a BCS level. I think next year they can be a two-loss team in the Big 12.
I do too, and you know, the Big 12's gain is obviously the Big East loss. It's worth mentioning really quickly that as Syracuse and Pitt depart, two of the stalwarts in that conference, if you're the Big East, you're saying, well, our momentum is still with TCU. At least we have a piece to the puzzle. Yeah, we've lost two of our best, but we've got TCU coming in. We can build off of them. To lose them now, it's pretty devastating for the Big East Conference to be stuck now at six.
Down to six teams, do they expand at this point? And if they do, where does it leave them? I mean, does adding 4 to 6 teams from the Conference USA, from the Mountain West, really boost this team up? I know their dream team is UCF, but is this conference past the point of saving?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound glass half empty on this, but I look at this situation and I don't really see a great future in this for the Big East, because yes, they could go after those teams and it might be the smart thing to do. There are some quality up and rising programs when you talk about UCF and things like that, but just long term positioning yourself as a power conference and keeping your BCS status, I think it's a real uphill battle for the Big East moving forward.
It'll be interesting to see the moves that they make if it's about keeping the prestige of the basketball side of things together, or if they're really going to try and save the football side of things, because UCF is a good football team and we're about to get to them, but if that's the best you're going to do, if that's your dream team, your football program has issues. I think they might be past the point of saving. There has to be a casualty in all of these big moves that are going around, and the Big East is looking like it. The problem is, the Big East at 8 teams has already kind of been the forgotten team in the BCS. Everybody hates the fact that they get an automatic bowl bid because most of the time they don't deserve it. You've had some teams like West Virginia and Pitt have some big years out of the Big East, but for the most part, it's an automatic BCS bid that a lot of people hate.
Yeah.
And now you're down to 6 teams. That bowl bid is going to have to come into question. They're going to have to do something about that.
It is, and it doesn't help. You know, UConn going to the Fiesta Bowl, couldn't sell out their tickets, had to eat all of that money. It's a tough grind right now for the Big East, and it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward.